So, B'siyata D'Shmaya, with the help of the Master of the World, we're going to dive right into our Shir and Sichas Aran B'siyata D'Shmaya. This is a couple of weeks that we're learning the Tzadik Sefer Sichas Aran. We're already up to Yutes Chaf, so we're making ground. L'chazi Hashem, I want to thank all of you for coming in person. Yes, I'll make you the host as well. Thank all of you who are here with us in person, to all of you who are tuning in online on Facebook and on Zoom. Thank you so much for joining us as well. And let's jump right into it. So, B'siyata D'Shmaya, last week we began with Sichas Aran Yutes. We started off with the Iyun of the beginning of the Sicha, and tonight we're going to be delving into the second half of the Sicha, and then Sicha Chaf, primarily. Something very, very important, Sicha Chaf. Okay, so the Rebbe had told us, let's begin from the beginning of Yutes. Va'amar the Heilige Tzadik says, Nichsafti mo'oi laham shichas ha'olam el asiyah. The Rebbe says, I had a tremendous longing, an awesome longing to draw the world el asiya, to actual maisa, to action. And we spoke about how people often have a misconception that Breslov is very much all about the rutzon, all about the gaguim, which of course it is. But the Rebbe was very much, and we speak about this all the time, about the balance, to be able to bring the ar, to be able to bring the gaguim and the rutzon, but into maisa, that it should mean something, it should have a practical impact on one's life. So Rabbi Nachman says, in as much as the Rebbe says in some places that the ikkar is the ratzin, in other places you find the Rebbe saying what? That the ikkar is the asiyah, the ikkar is the maisa. Two things, it seems like a stira. It's not a stira. Both are true. We need a maisa. We need a maisa to be absolutely bursting and permeated and saturated with ratzin, the kedusha, with yearning, with kisufim and gaguim. So over here, actually, in this very same line, you have the Rebbe saying, nichsafti ma'oid, right? Which could also be read as saying that the Rebbe's whole inyan is nichsafti, nichsafti. And the Rebbe's essence is yearning, but laham shechas ha'olam el asiyah, right? The yearning needs to become implanted and imbued within the maisa, shmir salacha, mitzvahs, as much as we can. We read so often about how the Rebbe says not to overthink, not to be ibertrachten, but to go ahead and to try to snatch whatever you can, whether it's, we're going to learn in another sicha where the Rebbe says, you know, drink down a couple of kapitel of Tehillim and try to grab as much as you can and stuff your face with some Chumash Rashi, you know, and mamish as much as you can to just be involved and not to stand like we always give the mashal in front of the Svarmstrang for 20 minutes trying to handle what should I learn, and just grab something, learn, you know, whatever it is, and don't think too much, right? To just involve yourself as much as possible in Kedusha, and it's all good, and it's all holy, and it's all connected. Connecting us to the master of the world in the deepest way. So the Rebbe says, I wanted to draw the world el asiyah. This is obviously a hemshich of the previous sicha, where we had spoken about how the Rebbe wanted that each and every person should be learning chod kavua b'chol yom. We spoke about consistency, how important it is for a person to make every single day a seder. Consistency, no matter what the seder is in, no matter how long the seder is. We spoke about the power of every single day, not letting one day go by without learning something, anything. We learned about how the definition of limud haTorah needs to be broadened. The Torah is so vast, and kol adam ein adam lo yimed ela b'makom shelo b'chafetz. Every person has their chelik, has the place in Torah that they connect with. Make a Seder consistency every single day as much as you can. We spoke about how powerful that is. We're going to learn more about that. But Amar and the Rebbe says, actually it was this piece. I'm saying last piece because that was last week. But the Rebbe says right here, and we'll review it again. He says there are people that are very distant from a life of Kedusha. Kedusha meaning separateness, holiness, transcendence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the transcendent element of God, so to speak, as opposed to the Shechina, which is the indwelling, imminent perspective. A Kaddish, Kedusha, to be walking a tefach above this ground. We're going to learn from Reb Nosson what that means, to have our feet planted in the ground, but the mind of a Jew should be Kaddish, should be holy, should be elevated. And with that holiness, we're supposed to imbue, much like we're speaking about, the nechsafti ma'oid, laham shechas ha'olam el asiyah, to imbue the asiyah, to imbue the ma'isa, to imbue the this-worldliness that's connected with the physical body and the guf and all the different things, our mundane responsibilities as human beings, but to imbue that with that inyan of Kaddish. See, he says over here that even anashim that are rechoikim in a kedusha, that are distant from such a lifestyle, ma'oid, that are trapped in a negative trap, in a negative cycle of behaviors that they feel that they can't break free from, they become completely and entirely sucked into this habitual trap of averis, chas v'shalom, rachmanu l'tzlan, rachmanu l'shezvan, Afal pi kena koyach shel haTorah, the Rebbe says, the power of Torah, gadol kol kach, is so incredibly powerful. Ad sheyecholu lahoitzi osam min averus sheregilu mehem. We learned last week from the Nefesh HaChayim, from the Ruach HaChayim, from the Peleoitz, different tzaddikim, in the same inyan, in the same nekuda, that Torah has such an incredible power to be able to fix up what a person blemished ultimately, because each neshama is rooted in an ois from the Torah Kedosha. And the Mela Limanat Torah is going back to the Sharish and fixing up the pegam that a person made, or the covering up, or the hester, the shutting God out, and the barriers that we build. So a person connects himself with Limanat Torah, and all of a sudden we're able to go back to that place, so to speak, and to rectify, to make a tikkun. But ultimately, consistency in Limanat Torah, the Im Yasalem Choy Kavua. We spoke about that importance of every single day, choyk v'lo yavar, v'chiv chazak, and to make it an obligation on oneself. Lulmay b'chol yoyim v'yoyim kach v'kach. Every day, as much as we can, a set amount, and as much as that's possible. Ye'ech she'yeh, no matter what his circumstance and situation is, bevadai, says the Rebbe, it's not speculative, it's not a shema. Bevadai yisku latzeis mi mitzudasam hara ayde atayra, through the Heilige Torah, Kedosh Kikoyach atayra gadol mi'ayd, because the power of Torah is incredibly great. So just to close off that segment before we move into the next part of the sicha, let's turn the page over and see a piece from Reb Nassen in the Kudei Halachas Chachiris VeKablanis Michoshim Mishpa. And Reb Nassen here says, we're going to read through it quickly because it's a big piece and it's really just a reiteration of a lot of these ideas, but some very beautiful lashonis. Reb Nassen, nobody had a pen like Reb Nassen. So the tzaddik writes like this: a person that's fallen into the place that he's fallen into, and by the way, you know, we're very quick to see this as synonymous with certain averis, specific averis, particularly relating to men's, you know, issues and that struggle. But it doesn't necessarily have to mean that, right? It means holistically, even beyond. Even if a person is excelling in that one nekuda, a person can still be in a matzah. That's one area of avodas Hashem. It's not that it's the yisoid, right? But it's one element. A person could be excelling in that and still feel nafal rachik ma'ashem yisbarach, not to feel that aura, not to feel that connection, not to feel that access in other areas, right? Rabbi Nachman says that there are people, and we'll learn this together in Sichas Ran, there are people who be'etzem have a bigger taiva for any other taiva that they might have, right? So he says, for example, a person who has a taiva for kavod, and he says that their taiva for kavod is so incredibly great that it's master, that it covers over their taivas for the things that they're too embarrassed to do, and so on and so forth. But it doesn't mean that they're clean from that inyan. It means that what they have a taiva for is overarching, right? So it's very possible that a person needs to sort of be mizboinin and despoided those to connect, right, and to clarify what it is that we need to be focusing on. And even if a person is excelling in one nekuda, there's another nekuda. Ruchik me'oid me'Hashem Yisbarach, ayde ma'isav haroim, afal pikein yachol iskar v'la Hashem Yisbarach b'kal, says the Rebbe, it's very easy to go ahead and connect to Hashem al yedi limanat Torah. We spoke last week about loneliness, right? About being able to commune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Malami Torah la'am Yisrael, b'kal, al yedi limanat Torah k'doshe, ki ha'Torah k'doshe yoredes, af yudu l'mishu hu be'imkiak, the Torah spans all madrigas, Torah min hashamayim, down into the Eretz Sinai, Elyonim lamala, Tachtonim, or Elyonim lamata, Tachtonim lamala, like the Beis Hamikdash, Sinai, Sulam, Utsav Arts, Avroishim, Gia Shamayim, Sinai, Gematri Sulam, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down the Torah from the highest of all realms, Chachmilah, and beyond that, right? Mamish, Kadmul Olam, down into the, you know, into the deepest elements of a person's human, even the lowly aspects, Bracha Asher Yatzar, the lowliest aspects of a person's human life, almost on the animalistic side of things, there's Torah there, right? And that's, the Torah is incredible, that there are halachas that are dealing with the most externally lowly, physical, corporeal, you know, gross matter in this, that a person is a human being, but ultimately the Torah is able to be mishtalshel, is able to reach from that incredibly elevated place all the way down into the darkest pockets of the human experience. So he says, the Torah is yeredes, even to a person that's b'imkei aklipas, b'shal tachtes chas v'shalom. Umay reres oisai, and the Torah is awakening him. Umakareves oisai la'ashem yizbarach b'b'chinas avadoinu mabes, amru ba'azneinu shamanu shima. That even people who are feeling like they're mamash in a makam of rishayim afilu b'chayim kriyim mesim. But if your ears are open to hearing the Torah, So then the Torah is able to pull you out of that. Even a person that tastes that feeling of being lost, of being entirely confused, of not having any hold on objective truth or morality, just wandering around this world with no boundaries, with no goals, and with no ideals. But they also were able to open up our ears to hear the voice of the Torah that makes those that are foolish wise, and it guides them along the path of an objective morality and an ultimate wisdom. That the Torah is announcing to a person all the time, when are you going to connect yourself, continue to connect yourself with folly, with foolishness? Pull away. There's a better way to live. Not just short-term, we'll talk about this a lot, not just short-term sacrifice and living a difficult life so that one day we can reach Adam, but there's nothing more sweet. There's nothing more yashar. There's nothing more l'yishrei lev simcha. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh. Also tayv lach l'olam haba. But the ikr is the schar mitzvah in this world. It's mamash the inyan of yafasha achas, tayv mitzvah samayz, and tayv ba'olam hazeh mikol chayi olam haba. Right? There's no osher. There's no sweeter life than this. There's no more healthy, normal, balanced, beautiful, yashar life than this. And that's what the Torah is telling us all the time. Ad masai psoim tavu pesi. He says again, he reiterates, even down into the darkest depth, even a person who feels as if he's in this lowly place, and to bring you back, yashar, derech ha-melech nelech, right back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the Isaac HaTorah, we spoke about consistency. Even if a person is in the spiritual hell of distance from God and lack of spiritual clarity, we know that Divrei Torah not mekablim tuma. Even a person, Takanas Ezra, ultimately, but be'etzem, they couldn't make that an ultimate halach and chiv on every single person because Divrei Torah are not mekablim tuma. It makes no difference what state you're in. Ve'alkein afilu azabim, amitzayraim. Like the Gemara in Brachas tells us, oiskim atayra. Zeremesh afilu elu. Sheim esitra de mesavusa. Even those that are really not in a good state, not just consciously that they were in a matzah, what can you do? They got sarat. But we're speaking about people who are stricken, who are afflicted, people who wouldn't think that they have any kesher anymore to learn to open a Gemara, to open a Medrash, to open a Sefer Chassidus, Sefer Musa. They have no Shaychus to that. No. You mamash have Shaychus with it. And this that you think that you don't have Shaychus is still part of the little bit of dirt on your face. So wipe it off. But you be'etzem have Shaychus with it. Because you're an ois in the Torah. You cannot exist in this consciousness without having an intimate Shaychus with the Torah. This that you think that you don't because of whatever actions you might have taken, that's decidedly external and it does nothing to obscure the fact of your essential holiness. Right? And so Torah brings you back to who you essentially are. And so there's no matzah that a person comes, Divrei Torah in a mekablim tuma. And the Divrei Torah that's in the slavish in the Jewish soul in a mekablim tuma. Hey, yois, that learning Torah isn't mekablim tuma. And we're each an embodiment of one of the letters in the Torah. We're not mekablim, Divrei Torah in a mekablim tuma. This group of people is a paragraph or a sentence up upon him. We're all words, all of us. Our oisias combined together. We're all in different bodies. We have the space between us, mukav gvil. But ultimately, we're a sentence from the Torah. Who knows what pasuk we're making up? I don't know. Right? So, divrei Torah ain't a mekablim tuma. So, memela, we're able to connect to the Torah no matter where we are, no matter what we're feeling. Even them, the Torah will refresh, recalibrate, bring them back to who they really are. Tshuva, tashuv, heila mekayma. Not just to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to return to what? To who we are. That's the deepest truth of tshuva, what tshuva is. K'may shakasav istarti panei va'ata ashir azayis lefanav kilos yishakach mipizarei. Haynu sha'afilu kishi yisraelim choytim chas v'shalom. Even when there's an inyan of hester panim. V'al yidei zayim esrach mei Hashem yizbar b'b'chinas hastaras panim chas v'shalom. The Torah will bring you close. Consistency. We learn from the Paleoites, force yourself. Even if it's not sweet for you right away, and even if you don't feel as if there's any hope for you, just choy kavua, every single day you can do it. Even if you don't believe in it, 5 minutes, you'll see the power. You'll see this incredible power. And it's not some like mystical thing. It's a return to the deepest essence of who you are, embodied in a lima that we're learning that can refresh. Ma mikvah mataras atmeim, ava kodesh baruch hu, mataras yisrael, and kodesh baruch hu varay sechad. It's mamash mikvah. It's going in and being reborn, like a mikvah is. Rav Nassan in another place says, we spoke about this in the past, the importance of going into a mikvah and holding one's breath until you feel that you can't breathe anymore. And then when you pop out of the mikvah and you take that first breath in, says Rav Nassan, that's the inyan of lev tar berali elikim. That first breath is Ruach Nacha in Chadesh Bekirbi. Right? It's a rebirth. Lev Tar Berali Bria is connected to the world of Bina. Bina is the womb. Right? It's Mamasha womb. That's what it is. You're supposed to also, when you go into the mikvah, you should adopt like a fetus sort of stance, you know, in the water. Because mamish, have it in your mind, it's wiping clean, I'm free, I'm cleansing myself. When you come out, it's mamish keberi chadasha. Mamish like a brand new creature. Ruach nacha in chadash v'kirb. It's the first breath that a fledgling child, an infant takes when it comes out of the mother's womb into the world. That's mamish what this nekuda is. And whatever the mikvah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the Torah is. Liman HaTorah can bring a person to this place. Hasaras panam chas v'shalom, aval haTorah tekar v'isam afilu be'eshehim nizufim rechaykim chas v'shalom. Even though they're very distant and they're very trampled upon, mitzad ma'aseihem, and that's the key. It's only mitzad ma'aseihem. It's their actions. Aval pikan haTorah teirid imayim l'makim shehem sham. The Torah is going to take you with it, right? And the Torah is going to come down to you, to your place. What's the tikkun for? The Shira Hazois. That's the tikkun. That's why these two psukim are back to back, right? HaKadosh Baruch was Hester, which is connected to our maisim or lack thereof. And then what follows directly? Shira Hazois is the Torah Kadosh. Because that's the tikkun. Wherever you walk, the Torah will be with you. When you lay down, tishmar alecha. Not only in the physical kever, but in the ruchnius kever. When a person feels that he's laying down, that he's finished, that he's rasham afilu b'chayim kriim mesim, you feel dead, you feel numb, you don't know what's going on, you don't have clarity anymore, you feel distant, you feel darkened, you don't feel the sweetness in anything in life. B'shach b'cha, even in the kever, tishmar alecha. Gama os hatar tishmar alecha, the Torah is guarding over you. Hussekar v'ischal Hashem is baruch, and is bringing you close to Hashem. Kamavur calls a hate to b'maimer, ani Hashem u'shemi. In Rabbi Nachman's Torah, simen yod aleph shal yidei diburi ha-Torah, yichodim lotzis mi madriga p'chusa, just to speak the words out. We'll learn in Sicha Ayin Vav at length about the Rebbe's mahalach halima, just even to say the words every single day, even if you don't understand them. Take 10 minutes and just say the words of whatever area of Torah that you're holding in, even if you don't understand. Obviously, the ideal is to understand, but even if a person doesn't understand, that's going to have the power that could bring a person to a very lofty level. The words of Torah will illuminate your path. That's in the Torah and Yud Aleph that's going on Rabbah Bar Bechana. In his vision, one of his many visions, where he sees this bird that's standing in the water with its feet, and its head is mamish up there in the clouds in Shemayim, and he says, Rabbi Nachman says, this is the Torah, that its feet, so to speak, the Torah is reaching all the way down into the most mundane, corporeal aspects of the human condition, but its reish, its head is mamish in Shemayim. That's Sinai, like we said, is Gematria Sulam. And what was happening on the Sulam? Malach elikim, oil in the yard, and by that's the Torah that it reaches mutzav arza, v'roisha megiya shemayim. That's what the Torah Kedusha is. Wherever you connect with it, no matter how you feel like you're in the lowest realm and you can't imagine anything lower, you're immediately connecting. You're plugging into an outlet that brings you directly to the highest, most elevated, lofty heights. Okay, the next piece also is just sort of reiterating this again, but that's a beautiful piece from Likutei Halacha to remember that. Even when a person's in the kever, ultimately we're able to refresh, we're able to recharge, we're able to connect back to who we are b'shorish and remind ourselves that any other maisim that we may be involved in, that we ultimately don't want to be involved in, that it's ultimately not the real me and so on, to refocus on who I am. That's the essence of tshuva. And Rav Kook says, like we've learned, that in a moment a person returns to themselves, the melee they return to Hashem. Because who do you find when you dig down to the core of your being, you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You find the Chelik HaLekam Imal. So if you return to your ideal state of who you actually are, Be'etzem Be'pnimiyas, that itself is part of Tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's who you'll find. And returning to Hashem Be'emesu Be'pnimiyas means not that Tshuva, and this is Rav Kook's big thing in Arsa Tshuva, it's not something unnatural, it's a contortion, we have to force ourselves, it's something strange and foreign and restrictive and difficult, and what can you do? I'm trying my best, right? Right, we're trying our best. No, it says Rav Kook Tshuva, there's nothing more natural than Tshuva for the Jewish soul. And anything that feels unnatural is still the chitzonius that's blocking. It means that you didn't dig deep enough. Right? But Tshuva is so natural, it's such a natural thing for a person to be able to go back to that place of Yashrus, what we call in our language, right? The princess of youth. Right, that gets lost along the way. Ashakarcha baderech, that Amalek comes and tries to convince us that that's not really who we are. That's not the real me. But the emes and the panemius is that at our core we are holy. It's the first principle, right? That's what tshuva means. V'chol misha yashoyimah, baderech siparti maisa. V'chol misha yashoyimah ho'yali hira tshuva. Rabbi Nachman introduces his story with this sentence. Baderech siparti maisa. Along the way, I told the story. What's the derech? Like we read in the book. It's synonymous with asher karcha, baderech. It's right. It's the same derech that Amalek attacks us on. That Amalek tries to cool us down. That Amalek tries to make us cynical. That Amalek tries to make us feel as if we've lost touch with our essence, with our panemius. But v'chol misha yashayma, whoever heard this story, ha'yale here at tshuva. Why tshuva? Because tshuva means to reclaim that which Amalek tries to take away. That's chapter 1 in the book largely. Right? So that's an important thing to remember. That's from the first part of Yud-Tes. So let's turn back and let's read the end of Yud-Tes. And here the Rebbe says, or Ibnasan rather records, v'chol ikr magamasei v'cheftzai. That Rabbi Nachman's entire goal, what did he come to this world to do, that the Rebbe said about his neshama that it needed no further rectification, he came only to help other people, like what was it? What was the point? What did he want from them? Rak l'uvdas v'asi yashal kedusha, was simply to enable the Jew to focus every single moment on the ultimate tachlis achayim, like we've also said in the past, how do you sum up Breslov in one word, is the tachlis, is mamish the tachlis. Is to cut through any chitzonius and any shtuyot and any machloikis, the kedusha or the sidracha, anything, and just get to the like, what is life about? Why was I placed into this world? Was to be a medaber, to communicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is forever communicating with us by speaking the world into existence each and every moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks that we channel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak with Him. Right? Thank you so much for coming. Right? To speak with Him and to communicate with Him. We have one more chair, right? Right? Just for you. And to focus on the tachlis, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Why is my neshama functioning in a human body that I was placed in this world? So now I have to understand, like, what is that about? And that's what Breslov wants from us: to have a lev rach, right? To have a lev basar, to have a heart of flesh that's a feeling heart. That doesn't lose touch, that doesn't get sunken down into the physical aspects of the world so we become cynical and we lose hope of there being the possibility of humanity really functioning together, all of these visions that Rabbi Nachman had of Mashiach, that Mashiach is going to come and conquer the whole world without one bullet being fired, no Armageddon, no big, tremendous, violent battle and war, mamish not. But the poetry of unity, shalom, like Rabbi Nachman says in Chav Zayin, for people just to get together and to converse and to speak with one another, to be able to still have that perception of the tachlis, of what we're all here for, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, and we're supposed to connect with Him. So the ikr that Rabbi Nachman wanted was uvdas v'asiyas l'maisa shal kedusha b'lishum chachmas klal, like we mentioned at the beginning, without any sort of overthinking or calculation or sophistication. Rakshan Nasik Tamid Vasiya Shal Kedusha, fill your life and I should fill my life, and we should fill our lives and our collective lives just with being obsessed with holiness, whatever form of holiness, and not to start making diunim. This is not my Masara, this is not my Shita, this is not Shita's, it's not. The Iker is one Shita. There's Anochi Havaya Likachom. We have the Aseres HaDibros, we have 613 mitzvahs, and we have all different drachim, 12 shvatim, each of which had their own thing. But like the Mesilas Hasharim says, V'chol ma sheyuchal lachshav, in Parak Aleph at the end, whatever a person can think in their mind that's going to help a person get close to Hashem, grab it and don't let go. Sheyuchal lachshav. We live in a generation saying it's like we're drowning, or mama's drowning. If a person's drowning and there are a couple of different colored pieces of wood that are floating around, and he happens not to like four out of the five colors, he's making cheshbonis now of which colors he doesn't. He mamish grabs onto whatever he could hold on to, right? And so there's no time for this. There's no time. The ikr is mamish uvdes vasiyus tikkurich. There's so much to do. Gimelas chasadim, Torah, tefila, no cheshbon. Jump into it. Tehillim. Whatever it is, whatever your matzav is, bein beratzav, bein b'shayv, like Rabbi Nachman says in Torah Vav and other places. No matter whether you're in a matzav of aliyah that you're able and you have the clarity and the head power and the zitz flyish and whatever your situation is to sit and whatever your ideal vision of an ideal of Hashem, whether it's shasapoyskim, you know, be'ian, or it's tefilas nayrois for many hours, whatever that is, or if you're in a situation where you feel completely unable to do any of those things, open up a biography of a tzaddik. Read it in English. That's all. You have an avoida there. It's kal, it's eat, but you're not out of the game. In Rabbi Nachman, there's no such thing as out of the game. There's no such thing as saif zman, like ilu, it's the end, you know, you're burnt out, it's ben azman, ben astar. There's no such thing. So avodas Hashem is every single moment of our waking lives, and there's always a way to connect. Ben betiva, ben ba'akar, tar lama gimel, whether things are going good, whether things are not going good. So you connect, whatever way that you can grab, whatever connection point you have. And Dafka, if we want to focus more specifically, there was no tzaddik that had more access points than Rabbi Nachman. Whether it's his spoidus, whether it's his tyrus, whether it's Rabnasan's tefillas, whether it's his stories, whether it's his melodies, whether it's his, I mean, it's so broad. There's always something that a person could hold on to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to the tzaddik, v'yamidu b'Hashem, uvu Moshe Avdei. But to hold on to Kedusha, tachlis, what's the tachlis achaim every moment? Is this bringing me closer to my tachlis or further away? Belishim chachmas klal, rach shenasik tamid ba'asiyu shal kedusha b'pshitus. Tainu laharbis v'lim na toira v'lasis mitzvahs harbi b'chol yoyim. Rabbi Nachman had a hanhaga we've spoken about when he was a child, when he wanted to give tzedakah. He would take a number of coins and he would mamish work up the whole slavas and l'shem yichuds and yichudim and put one coin in. And then he would take a little bit of a break. And then he would go ahead with the next coin and work up the same inyan. Mamish, he was obsessed with mitzvahs as much as he possibly could. To involve ourselves in that. To try to engineer for ourselves some way that we can be involved with all of ourselves. To be obsessed with wanting to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all of the various aspects of the Torah. If we thought that Rabbi Nachman is universally broad and there's always an entry point, the Torah, I'm saying, it covers everything. In every circumstance, there's a way to get close to Hashem. There's always a mitzvah. Even David HaMelech, that he saw himself in the bathhouse and he said, I'm arum for mitzvahs, but he had a bris milah v'amid kulam tzadikim to take pride in that, right? The simcha of being a yid, tachas v'shalayavat, as Hashem l'kach, the simcha of Tovleva will speak about, just to be happy, to thank Hashem, just the fact that I'm alive. It's a mitzvah saseh d'araisa, and muna. Saying there's so many constant mitzvahs we can do, even when we feel like we have nothing. When we feel like we have nothing, mamish. B'shach b'cha tishmar alecha, there's always a place to connect. V'lasas mitzvahs harbe b'chol yoyim, v'laharbas b'tfil, v'tachnunim, toira avoydug, v'lis chasadim, tamid v'akol, v'pshitas b'lishum chachmas. Mamish, without any sophistication, just to mamish, enter into the mikvah of a Jewish lifestyle, and to be obsessed with that, and to be constantly thinking, how can I help other people? How can I spread this? How can I share this? How can I imbue this within myself so that it is just bursting from me, right? This nekuda, that Yiddishkeit, is not just this, again, sacrifice we'll speak about in this terrible, treacherous life in this world, you know, so that we're, you know, we'll get olam haba. No, but it's the sweetest way to live. It's the most vibrant and the lifestyle that's full of vitality and emes and yashrus and depth and omek and maturity and everything good. Mamish, everything good. Behizr ma'oyder, Rabbi Nachman very firmly stress. Lius besimcha tamid. For a person to constantly be besimcha. Always spoke about simcha, always spoke about joy. Not joy in the sense necessarily of a person feeling like he wants to dance on a table or not, you can't force an emotion. But Rabbi Nachman stressed emtsaim, ways that a person can bring themselves to some tinge, to some level, to be able to be happy or to find something to be happy about in every matziv. Like Rabbi Nachman begins his story of the seven beggars, it's taken out of some editions, but he begins the story, his famous long story of the seven beggars. He says, "Achshav ani asap lechem." Now I'm going to tell you, "Eichshav yusmechem b'toicha marishchayr." How they were happy, dafka in the marashchayr. It's taken out of some editions, not eichshav yusmechem. Eichshav yusmechem b'toicha marishchayr. That's some editions had that in the real editions. Really, it was edited out. Whatever. B'toicha marishchayr. How you can find simcha, not to be you're not besimcha, but you can find a kernel of joy, some connection, some, you know, port that you can bind yourself to be able to reframe the situation, to remind yourself. And there are emtsaim to this. We're going to see in a minute what one of those emtsaim is. But b'simcha tamid v'hir b'ma'oid l'dabri mona mizeh, and he spoke to us so often about this. Me'in in simcha, kama where b'svarim akdoshim, like it's brought in the Kutumran and other svarim from the Rebbe. Ach yoisim is there even more than we've recorded, here b'l'dabri tana b'al peh, he spoke to us so much b'al peh, he gave over to us orally v'hizher ma'oid, v'kama as horis, v'kama b'kama b'amim, li'as ach semeach tamid, be the situation as a man. Again, and to reiterate, we have to restructure what the concept of simcha is. You can't all the times, it's not normal, it's not human, and Rav Nachman wanted us very much to be human beings. You can't plaster a fake smile on your face no matter what's going on. It's not healthy. It's not, a human being is Tiferes, is Yaakov Avinu, we're supposed to feel all the different emotions, Ava, Yira, and so on. But there's a deep inner simcha that a person is able to tap into that I would say is associated with Yishav Adas. The Indian of Yishav Adas, like even when things are not going well and you have a right to be upset about things and even angry about things, is there a way to reframe using a lot of Rabbi Nachman's techniques, ultimately techniques, he was way before his time, now it's part of, you know, the psychological literature, but way before his time, to be able to use reframing techniques, to look at the big picture, to and so on and so forth, to be able to find some level of Yishav Adas, like Rabbi Nachman has a famous lesson, small little turn, the Kutumran, but Sar Her Chavdali. Right? Rabbi Nachman says, David HaMelech doesn't say, you took me out of the narrow constraints of feeling stuck into a harchava, which is itself another pasuk. Min ha-meitzah karasi kanani ba-merchavka. But this pasuk says, bitzar, while I was still in the constricted space, while I still felt like I didn't really know practically how I'm getting out of this, hirchavtali. Within the tzar, hirchavtali. I was able to find some harchava. I was able to find some yishav hadas within the tzar. Doesn't mean that my situation changed, and it doesn't mean that it's even normal for me. In a circumstance, Rahman al-Assam, which I never know from such a thing, a person loses a family member, right? Anybody who's going to claim the name of Rabbi Nachman that we shouldn't go through the mourning period and feel emotions, I mean, that's not what you want. And in Yutaka, see some people who take it to an extreme, they become like robots. It's like weird. It's like, it's not normal. It's not a healthy thing. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be human beings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that in as much as we're supposed to Kashem Shem Mavarchem Ala Toiv Mavarchem Ala Ra, but there's a mourning period, and that's built into the system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're not Malachim, and He knows that we feel pain, even though it's an illusion, and so on and so forth. It's a kapar, it's a tikkun. Okay, that's part of the techniques. But Sach HaKol, we're supposed to feel these things, and Mamash feel them for real. But there's a way of even Bitsar Herchavtali. There's a way of even finding the Harchava within the Tsar itself. And yasap alachem eichsha yusmeichem betoichamar shcher. V'akol b'pshitas b'lishem chachmas. V'kama ashar is kama v'kama pa'amim liyas achsa meach tamir. So a very important Torah that's connected with this is Torah Yud and the Kutum Rantiniano. It's a small little teaching, but it's so incredibly powerful. And Rabbi Nachman says like this. Listen to this. This, that people are far from Hashem, far from the aspect of Kedusha, far from the aspect of transcendence, far from the aspect of identifying themselves with their Shoresh, what's the Shoresh, with the essential holiness, to live in that frame of mind and to operate out of that identity. They're not even trying to get close to the Master of the World, who rak, because they don't have Yishav Adas. They're not settled. They don't take the time to settle themselves. And they don't take those moments to really sit and to ask themselves the tachlis-oriented questions, the big questions. Not what am I going to eat, you know, how am I going to make the food, where am I going for lunch, what, you know, like all. But to think the why, like the big why. Not just why do I want to eat lunch, which is itself a tachlis, but ultimately of a very specific, I'm hungry, okay, but why am I hungry? Because I have a physiological, structure within me that requires me to eat so that I should have chias. Well, why do I need to have, meaning to take the whys, like Rabbi Nachman describes in Lama Tess, every tachlis has a tachlis, until you get to the ultimate tachlis and you ask yourself, like, the big why, like, why am I here? What is life about? What's the tachlis? And here he says, and he's going to use that word a lot now. But Ikr says, Rabbi Nachman, the main thing is lishtadal yashiv atzmei heitev. A person needs to take time off. In Likut Imran and in Sichas Ran and in Likut Halachas, Yishav Adas is always synonymous with hispoidedus. Always one and the same. Sha'achas, Rabbi Nachman describes hispoidedus liyashiv atzmei. Hispoidedus is Yishav Adas. You take 5, 10, 15 minutes off, a half hour, an hour, ultimately if you're able, even more than that, if you can, in a healthy, again, balanced, normal way. and a person takes time off, and what do we do in Espaidados? We're miyashiv ourselves. We really start to dig deep. We take ourselves away from the distractions of the world and from other people's labeling of ourselves and expectations and societal, you know, all of this garbage that's ultimately extraneous. And we take ourselves, but mamish ourselves into nature. And we allow ourselves also to bechin of a mikvah, to be reborn. To mamish be reborn and to speak the emes of the tmimus in front of the tmim deim, right? In front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu who knows everything anyway. The choyker lev ha'adam. And in that moment, we're able to attain yishav adas in talking out of those big questions and those very large, big issues, even though this is also supposed to be used for the even the small things, Rabbi Nassim's shoelace broke and so on. Rabbi Nachman says you have to daven for that also. Is it below your dignity to daven to Hashem about your shoelace? Right? Because it's not below HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity. We've spoken about that. But Espoidados is really, ultimately, essentially for this Nekuda of Yishev Adas.
Is that a very similar thing in Sicha Yud?
Yeah.
If you were a bully, you speak out. If you got no bully, you're coming to conclusions.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly right. And again, it doesn't, and even in that context, it doesn't mean that you're taken out of the bubulim. You can still be in the bubulim, but there's clarity even b'toicha bilbul. That's exactly right. We call that the prophetic darkness or something, right? L'shtadol yashav atzmei heitiv, to go ahead and to set aside a time to be miyashiv yourself, to be miyashiv ourselves. Moha tachlis. What is the actual tachlis? Mikol ha'tayvus and mikol inenu alamazeh. Tav seichel. And to think for, like, what is the tachlis? What's the purpose of all of this? Hein tavis hanachnasis leguf, whether they're physical tavis, physiological pleasures. Hein tavis shechutz leguf, for more klali pleasures, could go uncovered like we spoke about. But azai, says Rabbi Nachman, if a person were to take off time and to think about the pashit insanity, which we'll get to in a minute, but the insanity of this engagement with tavis olam hazeh, and this cycle that we find ourselves in, which again we'll speak about in a minute, the last couple of minutes we have. But if we would get clarity into this, and we would allow ourselves to think about these things really in a very logical, non-emotional, non-dramatic, even non-spiritual way, which I'll get to in a minute, but in a very logical, 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 clear way to be miyashiv ourselves outside of the influence of society and preconceived notions about what pleasure is, right, and what our desires are. We'll speak, again, all about this in a minute. If we would be able to be miyashiv ourselves, says Rabbi Nachman, bevadai yashav al Hashem, bevadai. Because it's a sane lifestyle to live within normal human boundaries of objective morality. It's sane not to hide and not to have to pretend and not to have to live a double life and not to have to fool people and not to have to break people's hearts and not to have to act like a behemoth. It's sane to do that. It's sane. Makes sense. Takes yishev adas, which we'll talk about in a minute. But the more that we take off time to be miyashiv ourselves, to view these things, like the Pia Setzner Rebbe says and describes this in Ashar Savreichim, from a detached standpoint, not while you're standing in it, shift into the observer mindset, in some form that's called das, the observer. Not the emotions. Go into das, into that aspect of just a separate consciousness to be able to literally view what we're going through and our emotions from an objective standpoint. Not to be mired within them, to be able to master over them, to hold space for them, and to say, this is what I'm feeling, not to judge it, not to start making assumptions about what I am because I'm feeling this. No. Not to label, simply to observe. To do this in a spite of this, to observe ourselves. To think back over the day, if we do have spoiled this at night, or spoiled this in the morning of the previous day, to think back over certain circumstances, and literally, ki'ilu, we're like observing ourselves as a test study, and to ask ourselves, like, what was that actually about? Do I want to do these things? Is this the kind of person that I want to be? Is this sane? Is this even attractive to me? Is this like, right? And the more that we're able to be miyashiv ourselves and allow that clarity to be able to filter down into our emotions, moach shalat alalev, where the mind is able to conquer the heart, memeli yashav al Hashem, because it's clear to us that this is the logical thing to do. And I'm going to say something very powerful, Be'ezer Hashem, in a moment, after we finish Tera Yud in Tinyana, and then we'll go into Sichas Ran Chaf, and we'll be Marchav the Dibur a little bit. I think we started late too, no? Started very late, maybe even. Yeah, Seder. Okay. So Achda says the Eligar Rebbe's Chus Yagun Alino Shali De Mar Shchayra. When a person is bitter and broken and depressed, ultimately, you know, clinical depression that, you know, people need medicine for, but a person is sad and a person is pessimistic and a person is filled with amalek and kriros and laziness. Axlos and Axlos are always linked together to our Kufnune. A person is just, I can't get out of bed. Yef Shalahanik is a moyach kertzayna. Your mind is simply not functioning properly. our minds are not functioning properly when we're in a matzav of maror shechayra. It's going to be very difficult for oneself in that matziv to be miyashiv oneself. Because all of a sudden, everything gets blown out of proportion. Or, we aren't able to accurately assess different feelings that we have because they become sullied. It's like a person wearing sunglasses and starting to complain that everything is dark. It's simply because of the sunglasses. We don't see things clearly when we're in a matzav of brokenness and pessimism and self-loathing and all this stuff that's associated with atzvos, with brokenness, with heaviness, with laziness, with kfedus. We're not able to reach Yishev Hadas because we're not seeing things as they mamish are. But through simcha, when a person is in a matziv of optimism, when a person is in a matziv of assumption of success, even after 1,000,000,000 times failing, each time again, not with this depressed, heavy feeling of, oh my gosh, like life stinks, like Chazal even say, maybe they were joking, I don't know, oily mi yitzri, oily mi yitzri, by yitzar, a person has a yitzar and a yitzar, a yitzar inside and a yitzar, a creator outside, and a person lives in this perpetual state of like I'm doomed either way, right? If I'm meshubet to the Yitzhara, oyli mi yitzri. If I'm trying to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, oyli mi yitzri. I have Yisurim from the Yitzhara that's trying to pull me. If I'm doing what the Yitzhara wants, oyli mi yitzri. So it's like ilu. So a person, it's like a pessimistic sort of approach where it's like I'm doomed no matter what. Life is hard. Life is tough. Yiddishkeit is just a drag. And so hopefully I'm going to try to do the best that I can for the purpose of Adam Haba. But essentially in this world, there's no real hope for me, you know, to really live a happy lifestyle because I feel that draw from the Yitzhara so powerfully that I feel that like it's just a miserable lifestyle without it, right? Which of course is a sheker, which we'll get to again. Simcha changes everything. Optimism changes everything. We'll speak about in a minute exactly what the optimism is in this regard, dafka, with regard to tainug and with regard to taivas. But simcha changes the game. Simcha gives a person clarity. You could think straight. You could think like a normal person. You know, when a person is a little bit down on themselves and they walk into a room of people and they start just assuming what this guy's thinking of me and what that guy said about me last night, it's like mamish dimyonis. It's total dimyon. When a person is in a happy mood, a self-confident mood, it's just, you could see things, you know, from a whole different perspective. You could have clarity in things. And says Rabbi Nachman, it's a famous Torah here, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, ki besimcha seitzeyu. On a Pashat level, it means that we're going to get out of Galus with joy. But it says Rabbi Nachman, it's not that joy is simply another aspect of what, you know, how we're going to get out. So it's descriptive. You know, we're going to be joyous when we go out. It says Rabbi Nachman, no. Ki bisimcha seitzeyu. The only way to get out is with simcha. And that's what, you know, Shlomo says from Rabbi Nachman. It's not that things are going so wrong and so therefore you're sad. He says you're sad until things are going wrong. Right? Simcha is not a tachlis. Simcha is the means, and we have to walk with it all the time. It's not that I'm trying to get to simcha. There's no such thing. This is because you'll never get there. There's always going to be a reason to be miserable over there. Everybody knows, right? It's not ein adam meis v'chatzei devas v'yaday, right? Yish lemanu retzah masayim. Oyev kesef liyiz b'kesef. Right? Eber katan yish ba'adam rav sav. I mean, it's never ending. You'll never be content, completely content. There's no such thing. It's a dimyon. It's a total dimyon. Because you can't become satisfied with something that you don't really want in the first place. Hey, yes, it's a dimyon that you think you want these things. So Mamela, there's no way to satisfy you because it's not really what you wanted anyway. So you continue to go ahead and, you know, and try and try and try. No, maybe this time I'm really going to enjoy it. And maybe to keep on going on, but it was never something you essentially wanted in the first place. So there's no threshold for finally getting there because you thought you were on a different road. And your mamash, you're on a road that never, ever ends. It doesn't have an end. Like we learn from Sicha Vav, when he opens his hand, there's nothing in it. There is no tachlis. There's pashut, no tachlis. There's no end. You can't be satisfied. The Indian of Simcha is able to give a person the ability to leave. When a person starts finding joy even in the current circumstances, bitsar, not to wait until I'm out to then hopefully attain Simcha. The only way you're getting out is with Simcha. Not to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you heal me from whatever I'm going through, so then I'm going to stop worrying. No. You stop worrying already now. You start entering into a place of emunah bitachon, realizing, which is itself a hispoided sort of asaga, that worrying is literally wasteful. It does not do a thing for a person. Think about it. It does nothing for you. Being sad, anxious, it's not logical. It does not help a situation at all. even being panicked. It doesn't on the contrary, they tell a person in a matzav of emergency, the worst thing to do is to panic. Why? Because then you don't think straight. It's mamash this. You're not able to be manig the moach here at Sinai. So the main thing is, the first step is to try to access simcha in whatever possible way that one can. Is to try to strive for that perspective that's going to enable a person to tap into joy, not despite, but even because of the circumstances. That's also part of the reframing. And mamela, that's going to be the ticket out. Not that once I get out, then I'm going to be able to have simcha. That's not the way it works. It works the opposite way around. Nasa ben chayrin. Shai de simcha nasa ben chayrin, the yoytze min agalos. Mamish. The al came therefore, kishim ekashir simcha la moyach, when a person binds simcha to the mind. As I moich v'dayta ben chayrin, and you're able to clarify, the mind is able to be freed from all of this garbage and all of this dimyon that's related to pessimism and brokenness and darkness and atzvus and atzlus. V'ena b'bechinas galus, and you could think straight for the first time in your life and put things into perspective instead of blowing every little tiny thing into this huge inyan, whether it's ben adam l'chaveira, ben adam l'atzma, even ben adam l'makim, to put things into perspective. You're trying the best that you can. There was a slip-up. Say it or move on. It's not like it doesn't have to, you know, kill you and drown you. So you put everything into its proper perspective. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should live v'chai b'hem, v'lo yishiyomus b'hem, like we learned from Mem Dalet and Tinyana. So a person's free. V'azai v'ina b'b'chinas galos. At that point, v'azai yuchal ha'anigas ha'moyach, you could start to really think about life. But the first thing is, the prerequisite is, you have to start thinking about things clearly. And part of the way to think about things clearly, like we learned about, is simcha. And part of the way to get simcha is the Rebbe. There's no, I'm saying there, obviously, there are many tzaddik and many different teachings. But the Rebbe's das is like whatever ideal that in our best day we could possibly think of touching, any sefer in Breslov already contains that moichin, you know, that you can access, that you can remind yourself, that you can plug back into sanity. To the Rebbe's clarity, it was sanity. It was das, amok. It's mamish, like, just lucid, mamish lucid, tachlis, to keep you focused. What's the ultimate? What's the ultimate goal? It's like literally the Rebbe's brain is just sitting there on the table, and you can plug into it. You can mamish just wire, you know. You can plug into it, and that gives a person simcha, puts things into perspective, balance, everything, healthy, normal. Again, it has to be given over in a proper way. But this is the nekuda. The person's mind is free. And he brings rise in the Gemara Megillah. We don't have time to go into every detail now. But through galus, the person's das is not miyusha, is not settled. Like Chazal say in Megillah, why did they have a special clarity? Because they never went to galus. But mainly you see that galus is connected to a lack of clarity. Lack of clarity is connected to galus. How do you get out? Says the Rebbe, simcha. Simcha. The love of the simcha, the next paragraph, how do you get to simcha? This is one of the Rebbe's malachim, obviously a prime tool to be able to bring a person's heart to joy, not in the sense, again, of this physical, you know, emotive state of joy as we think about it, to jump up and want to celebrate and go buy a birthday cake. You're not there. You're not in that bechina. But it means to locate the nekuda tayva, which means to start putting things into perspective. Whatever you think you're so broken about, whatever you feel is going wrong, is failing, bein beruchnis, bein megashmis, I have that point within myself that's ever connected, that's ever pure. We spoke about it, the essence of who we are, at our core we are holy. To be able to plug back into that in every moment, to put things into perspective, chatoyim rabim, I should be so, mamish buried under this incredible masa, like Rabbi Nachman says, it's mamish, it's a tremendous burden of sin that we feel is crushing us, crumbling upon us. Because we think that we become identified with our actions. You find the Nekudat Tayva, you realize that that's the chitzonius of who you are. You're an ois kadosh from the Torah that can never deliver Torah in a mekablam tumah. And all of a sudden, things brighten up. Yesh tikva. There's no such thing as losing. The lost princess is itself a dimyon. Is itself a dimyon. She was never lost. There's no such thing as being lost. There's no such thing. Nekuda Tayva helps us realize that. I have a bunch of shirim in Nekuda Tayva. But to be able to identify that place which is qualitatively different, even though quantitatively it's only one tiny spark amidst this entire, you know, pile of rubble of horrible things, but qualitatively it's different in the sense that this is your essence and everything else is external to you. That's a reframing. Whoa, that reframes the situation. All of a sudden, okay, like, I can accept responsibility. I can start going through the tshuva process, but like a normal, healthy person, without it blowing up into this, like, I'm destroy the world, I'm the worst person in the world, and feel shame and self-loathing, which we know how that goes. That goes back into the cycle then, because we want to rush. Anytime we feel anxious, we want to get back into the matzav, and then it's a never-ending cycle, and it just is filled with marashchar. There's no other word for it. It's filled with pain and darkness, and a person who's stuck in that doesn't have a minute of yishav adas to clarify it in his mind anything. And he's no simcha, no yishav adas, and nothing, and this endless cycle of despair and brokenness. Mamish. But the Rebbe says, find that little nekuda tayva al kol panim yishlo smech b'mashazach liyis mizeri Yisrael. Even if a person has nothing else, you can rejoice over this, that you're a Jew. You can rejoice over this, that you're connected to the deepest, deepest story that runs from the beginning of time, even before time, all the way until the end of history. Higanu, here we are, looking the same as we did, kevalt, for thousands of years, connected to the same tefillin and the same tzitzis. You don't imagine how many mitzvahs you do before 11 o'clock in the morning, most of us, right? Which is a pella, hopefully. Okay, maybe we should extend it. Before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have to remind ourselves that if we were a kirev professional, I hate that word professionals, like kirev professionals, halavai, I should be a bal tshuva, you know? But if we were Isaac and kirev in any sort of way, and if a person did what each of us do for, you know, just from the time that we wake up until like 2 o'clock, let's say, in the afternoon, we would be going out of our kalim. Like, oh my gosh, how much progress this person made. It's unbelievable. Netils yadayim, did you hear he did netils yadayim today? He said Shema, he said Kriya Shema, Davin. He put on tzitzis, wearing a yarmulke. He made a bracha before breakfast. Like, and these are things that we just take for granted because we don't understand the benefit and the beauty, because we think of Yiddishkeit as this cultural thing that we have to do with six sons, right? We think of just this chitzanius thing. Nope, this is what a firm Jew does. No, it's not. It's not. It's Nishmas Yisrael. It's the deepest dveikus. Every single moment, every single action. We royal le smayach kalashana, right? Just one little thing that a person does in Ruchnius. We can mamish dance for 2,000 years that you came down to the world to say one bracha that's my father's Torah, like we said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that Am Yisrael's neshamas should leave them. Every word that came out of Hashem's mouth and come back to life to show us that it would have been worth coming down to live and die over every single word of Torah that we're zeichet to hear. You didn't chap the whole shir. Good, you got one point. That's it. You live a life of Yishav Adas. You live a life of clarity. Live a life of openness. Okay, so the last couple of minutes, let's see. Sicha Saran Chaf, and I want to speak to you about something very important. Says the Hilgaz Rebbe Chosya Ganalinu Kishadam Kalayem Simcham. When a person is the whole day with Simcham, we don't really have time to do this properly. Okay, we need to see after the Shema. We always do. And opposite particularly. Because Sha'adam Kalayim is Simcha, when a person all the time is Besimcha. As I bin Nakala, it'll be easier for him. This is Mamash, an exact extension of Tari Yud that we just learned. To set aside 1 hour a day, Lishabaras Liboy Velasiach, Esasher Im Lubavoy, Lifnei Hashem Yisbarach. Better to be joyous the whole entire day, so that you'll be able to have 1 hour of Mamash, healthy Hispodidus. With the Shivron Lev that comes with that, which is qualitatively different than Atzvos. Shivron Lev and Atzvos are very, very far from one another. We'll speak about that. Is there a Shem that's coming up? Then, to be in a state of like, assume Shivron Lev the whole day, but ultimately it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. K'muur etzleinu kamba pa'amim. Aval k'shiyesh le'atzvos chas v'shalom. When a person becomes depressed, kasha le'le hisboided. You would think it's the opposite, right? Adarabba, such a person is mamash filled with hisboinunus and cheshbon ha'nefesh and the whole day ba'atzvos, it would be much easier for him. No, it's much harder. Lisboided le'farsi chas, to be honest, to be authentic, to be clear, to be b'pshitas, between us, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tamim tiyam ha'shal nekecha, u'b'yoyser v'shas ha'tfilah, and he says, even more so in the time of tefilah, tzrichem lach kriach atzme b'chol kei choysav, a person has to compel himself as much as you can, l'skis l'simcha, to daven in a way of simcha. We don't have time to see the piece inside, but you'll take the notes with you if you're interested, from the Keser Shem, from the Helig of Hashem, on the other side, where the Rebbe, and we'll just read the first line, ha'tfilah, kishi b'simcha g'dayla b'vada yoyser chashuv m'kubu l'fanav yizbarach. Or Lefanav, Yoyser Me'at Tefillah Ba'atzos U'Bechiyah. He says it's a much bigger deal for a person to daven with a big smile on his face than a person who's mind shuckling and like he's going to break in half and tears rolling down his face, which could also be holy depending on the circumstance. Rabbi Nachman says the Iker, and the Baal Shem says the Iker is based on Arizal, to daven b'simcha, with joy. Mamash, full of joy. So a person has to davka b'shas tefillah, to push oneself into that matzav and try as much as you can. Not to, again, not to force yourself in this unhealthy way to attain the joy that we usually classically think is joy, but to utilize the Rebbe's inyan before you start Shmoneh Esrei. Ah, I have an akuda taiva. What a privilege to be able to daven in front of Hashem, as I am, because the real me is the one that's davening, not what I just did 5 minutes ago. This is mamash the real me. What a privilege. It would have been worth coming down. How delicious tefillah is. Rabbi Nachman says in Torah Tes, Ikra chiyas min kabel mea tefillah. Tefillah lekal chayai. Tefillah gives me life. Tefillah is my life. Tefillah is the essence of who I am as a medaber that makes me human over the behemoth, v'chule. Then you go into Shemana Esrei, and it's like, okay, it's not an external simcha of ecstasy, right? It could bring a person to that. Hislavas. But at least you're in a matzav of like, you see things big picture. You're able to climb out of that, you know, like all of this katnus, right, that seeks to snare us and trap us, and you enter into Shemana Esrei from in the perspective of Moichin the Godless. You know, to see the big picture of things. Tachlis, at the end of the day, there's a Hashem. And I'm a Yiddish and a Shama. And I have a schus to connect with him, and I'm trying the best that I can, and I struggle with what I struggle with, but I'm trying the best that I can. Ah, Gevalt, what a Shemana Esrei, right? That chashbonus and calculations. So then it becomes much easier. And he says, that's the ikra of tefillah to do this. But he says it's very hard. It's very difficult because we're battling against the whole world that wants to drag us down. It's the most difficult avoida, but that should be the ikra of our focus to get to this place. And all the Rebbe's teachings in one way or another are connected to this. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said that the hardest mitzvah of Sukkot was what? What's this? The hardest mitzvah is simcha. Why? Because the pasuk says, "V'yisa ach sameach." He says, "Ach sameach." And there's no room for anything else. You have to be only besimcha the whole time, and simcha is hard. Even though the Rambam uses that to be memay toilulos, so it's a miut. But he learned that al pipshitas, you mamish have to be besimcha every single minute of sukkahs. You can't not for 1 second. And it's kasha. Rabbi Nachman says it's kasha. The Amar, Rabbi Nachman said, and we'll go a couple of minutes over time, I apologize in advance, but I think it's important once we started, Mamash to be Mashlim. Kifi an nirashi, efshalav le simcha, the Rebbe said it's impossible to come to simcha, kim ayide ininishtu. Sometimes you just gotta make yourselves, or make a person needs to make himself a little bit silly, ininishtu, to make a joke or two. Usually self-deprecating, not to take oneself so seriously, right? Not to take ourselves so seriously. Lasis atzmi kashoyte. To be a little bit uninhibited, to act a little bit silly and crazy. Not to hold ourselves in such a dignified, like healer or something, like the physical body is something, you know, self-respect. There's no self-respect. What? Your neshama that's in this world, that's itself an experience of absurdity. The whole thing is bizarre. This whole thing, it's like es echad gadar. Ibn Achman said that if he had his way, he would take a couple of chevra and move out far away where nobody knew from him, and he would just watch people and just laugh at them the whole day. That's what Ibn Achman said. Because the world is insane. The world is pashut insane. If you think about it in a way of yishav hadas, of a big broad-mindedness, the tachlis hachaim, the things that people spend their time with, the things that people are machshiv, the things that people get upset over, the things that people love, the people that the things that people ruin their lives over, it's almost comedic. If it wouldn't be so tragic, it would be hilarious, right? But the sad part is that we're part of it, and that's why his spoidedus needs for us to go into that objective standpoint as an observer, to be like Rabbi Nachman in that moment with his das, and to laugh at ourselves a little bit. To laugh at ourselves. Listen to this line. This is what I want to speak to you about for the next 5 minutes. When a person is zeichet to simcha? In all of its manifestations and expressions, as we've been speaking about it until this point, which I think is a radically different simcha than people ordinarily think. You know, simcha is associated with breslov, people jumping on cars and different things. That's an avaida. You know, who knows what these people would be if not for that? But that's ultimately a kilkel in the sense of what Rabbi Nachman's vision of what simcha was supposed to be, right? In the sense of this yishav hadas, broad mindedness. This way of being able to be a human being and to be able to feel the gamut of human emotions, but within each and every emotion to be able to plug back into the broad-minded yishav hadas of tachlis achayim, the big picture of optimism, to understand that it's not, there's no such thing as choshech forever, kate samla choshech, like we say so often. There becomes a moment where you can step out of the darkness in every single inyan, that the nekudas habachir of a person should be constantly shifting, and we can grow and we can change and we can evolve and we can develop spiritually. And no matter what we feel bound by, it's a shtus echad gadol. We can break free. Says the Rebbe, when a person is zeichet to this, listen to this. As I Hashem yisbarach ba'atzmoi shomer oisai u'matzel oisai mipgam habris. When a person can enter into such an inyan of such a clarity and such a yishav hadas, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, is being metapol with a person, Shemar, a person is able to attain clarity and perfection in this Indian. So I want just now for the last couple of minutes just to say something that is very, very important. The truth is it requires more time, and we don't have time for this now, but etzem. But Lamalam and Azman, I'll try very quickly, very, very quickly, but it's mamash important, and I want you to listen to me. Part of what we spoke about in the first part of this year, with regard to the misconception that people ordinarily have about the difficulties of this worldliness and the difficulties of trying to be an Oved Hashem and the sacrifices that we have to make and the Oili Miyitzri, right? That we feel that this is something that my whole life depends upon, and when I have to separate from that, talking Dafka in the inner Shemir Zabris now, right? But it can be applied to many other areas as well, where we feel that we cannot live without this, right? And the thought of living or trying to live without it sets us into terrible panic, right? And we feel as if we can't function, and how am I, b'chule, b'chule. Part of Yishev Adas and part of Espoididus, and part of this experience of Hashem himself coming down and being Shaimer, a person's birth for him, so to speak, that means, is two realizations. The first realization is that this thing that I thought was pleasurable, or this thing that I was under the dimion, was something that I enjoyed, is when viewed with this objective, optimistic, broad-minded Yishev Adas sort of perspective, when viewed from that place, taking into account the years that we're trying to break free from this thing, so we clearly hate it, not even from a spiritual perspective, just on a Pashut physical perspective, how sick it makes us feel and how it destroys relationships and it makes us hide and it makes us v'chule, 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 to understand that this thing is not something that I want. It's Pashut, a poison. It's mamish, a poison. It's not giving me anything. Zero. It's giving me nothing. And that leads into the second realization, which is that breaking free is not an inyan of self-control, because it doesn't take self-control to not drink a cup of bleach. Because it doesn't take self-control to not engage in a poison. And when a person, and what I want you to do is to separate this from religion and spirituality. Again, I could talk now for the next hour on this. But a lot of times, because we make this inyan and this struggle kashur to concepts of yetzahara and taiva and this, it muddles it, and it makes it very dramatic, and it makes it very emotional, and it's very hard to go into this very logical place of just to see this thing outside the context of our Yiddishkeit. Is it the essence of Yiddishkeit? Of course, that'll be a side benefit. But the main thing, Rabbi Nachman says, the ikar is Yishev Adas. Let a Kodesh Baruch Hu be shown in the verse for you. You'll see this. You'll see this, and I promise you. When a person adopts the mentality that it's not, I'm not counting days, and there's no streaks, and there's no obsession, there's pashut, the decision to say that I realize and recognize on a logical level that this is not something I want, that it's a poison, pashut, a poison. The haraya, I've been trying to get rid of it for you know, however long. I am not giving up anything. I am pashut not giving up a thing. There's no feeling of this inner struggle of like, no, but like, oh my gosh, it's day 18 and I'm like, I really want... No, you don't. You don't. Mirosh, you made a decision to say this thing is a poison and I'm pashut done, and I will not for one moment feel as if I'm still, you know, kashur to this, whether it's called addiction or and so on and so forth, without getting to the complexity, we don't have time now. But this, to label oneself like this is, no, I'm an addict, I'll be an addict forever. To say pashut, make a calculated decision, very logical. Yishev Adas, broad-minded, has spoiled this decision. Rabbi Nachman says, if a person has das tzach kolshu, this taiva is not a taiva. Das tzach kolshu. Where is that das tzach kolshu? Where is it exactly? Where is that das tzach kolshu? People that struggle for this with for 40, 50, 60 years, and the darkness and the brokenness, to think that you're getting something from this when you don't realize that the only thing that you were under the illusion that you were getting was created itself by this. That there's a dependency that's created on this particular action, on this particular vision, or on this particular inyan, and you feel, There's mamash like, oh, there's a release that's gotten. So that, but it's an illusion, because regular people who aren't stuck in that simply can live their lives in a much happier, healthier, liyishr leiv simcha dika way without needing this, because it's not giving you anything. Whatever it's giving you was itself created by this. And you think that by doing this, you're gaining something. You're only deepening the hole that's going to cause you to then need to fill it again with this very thing, the choyzer chalila. And it goes on and on and on and on, and you never get out. Until you make this very, very simple cheshbon. To say for yourself, this thing is simply a poison. It holds nothing for me. It does nothing for me. I don't need this. I don't want it. I can live life without it. And then to be able to say to oneself, therefore, I'm done. I'm pashut done. Without any drama, without any like big spiritual tefillas and chew, I am pashut done. And I'm not losing anything. I'm not sacrificing anything. I'm not counting days as if I need. I made this decision. I got clarity on this. This thing is a poison. One doesn't need to be commended for not drinking bleach, like we said, or for not harming oneself in some way. This is a big hasag. I want you to think about this, because it's a paradigm shift from the other approaches to trying to deal with this inyan that have very much to do with, you know, all these streaks and counting and chizik and support and accountability and falling and getting up. You could push it, avoid this whole thing by simply taking this two-step process. And it requires a lot of yishuv hadas, objectivity, very rational, very logical, make a simple cheshbon, to make a decision. And the moment that you make your decision, you're done. You're not a recovering addict. You're done. You're done. You're a non-user. You're finished. And to go from there, you'll find that a remarkable thing happens. The cheshek and the taiva is gone. It's pashit gone. You wouldn't believe it. It's gone. There's no self-control, willpower. There's no willpower necessary. The thing is not enjoyable. It's not pleasurable. Once you understand the way that it works on the brain and so on and so forth, it's not an emotional or character-related thing that we make it as. Again, it's a whole tire. I can talk about it for a very long period of time. There's a misconception the way that we grow up with this. It's something that's related to a deeper emotional issue. It's really not. It's a chemical dependency on something like any drug. And the way to do it is to see it as such from a das tzach kol shu perspective. And then a kudus havachira shifts. It becomes something that it posh, it doesn't push it. Once you identify it as the poison that it is, no willpower necessary. No willpower necessary. And any thought that you have about it will simply be the thought of incredible joy that you're done with that. That you're push it done with it. That you can live your life free of all of the disgusting filth and terrible b'chule that all of us, I think, are familiar with. This, I believe, is what Rabbi Nachman is talking about here. When a person can attain simcha, optimism, you're not stuck in this forever. There's an easy way out. And to be able to have this yishuv hadas, the das tzach kol shehu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is coming down and being shomer the bris, because you don't have to do zilch. Okay, there's more on this. If you want to talk to me more about resources, more on this mahalach, which is a specific mahalach, and very unlike kamat anything else, and one of the only thing that really works for a lot of people, feel free, and I can try to send you materials and so on and so forth. But this is an important thing, and I think that we can find it in the Rebbe himself. In the Rebbe himself, as we've just learned. So that's a very, very powerful thing. We should be zeichet to clarity. We should be zeichet to sanity. We should be zeichet to non-dramatization. We should be zeichet to not blowing things out of proportion. We should be zeichet to lucidity, to be able to view things from an objective, non-emotional, no drama, no, just very, very basic, pashut tmim supshitas, and to go as much as we can, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to try our best to do our establish. Of course, this doesn't mean that you don't need filters, and of course, it doesn't mean that you don't need to stay away from different places, the chule, of course, because the moment that we're back in, the moment that it convinces us it's not a poison, we're finished. We have to try our best, right, to stay within the confines of Kedusha as much as we can, and to really be able to taste the bliss and the freedom of Mamash L'Yishrei Leiv Simcha, Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh, also V'Tayv Lech L'Olam Haba, but there's no greater life. Ashreinu Chevra, Mamash Ashreinu, thank you so much. Thank you to all the new faces, thank you for coming, hope you come back. And we'll dab a marv, yeah? We have a minion that didn't dab a marv. We'll dab a marv. Thank you so much, guys, for being with us and for learning with us. And have a wonderful rest of the week. Bezer Hashem. Thank you so much, Chevra.
Let's go.